Well, we know that our theme for this year is preparing the church for the next move of God. Preparing the church for the next move of God. God is calling us as a church to restore this generation. God is calling us as a church to establish the church. And God is calling us to ensure generational success. And we have been saying on Sundays and on Tuesdays that this simply means that God is calling us to save our house. Last year, we focused on preparation. Now we must focus on the work. And we know that our blueprint for success is in our theme scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 7. It reads, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." We have learned in this scripture that God determined to bring judgment against a sinful and wicked world. And he determined to bring that judgment through a flood. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. So God warned Noah of the flood and instructed him to build an ark that would save his house. And we know that Noah obeyed. We learned in this scripture that prompted by his belief in God, Noah being warned and instructed of God of events which had no visible sign, stood in awe of God. And with godly fear, he took heed and diligently constructed an ark and equipped it with everything necessary for the salvation, deliverance, preservation, and safety of his household. Church, God has warned us that our families are not safe in this world, but he is giving us the opportunity to save our house. God is giving us the opportunity to believe. He is giving us the opportunity to move. God is giving us the opportunity to prepare, and he's giving us the opportunity to save. But to do this, we must live as Christians ought. Christian living is essential to saving our house. Christian living is essential to saving our house. What is Christian living? Christian living is to make Jesus clear and visible. To make him clear and visible. To make Jesus known through a consistent, godly lifestyle. It is to put the abundant life on display. Christian living is to be Christ-like. That is, submitted and obedient to the will of God, that we might please God and glorify his name. Christian living is to be submitted and obedient to the will of God, that we might please God and glorify his name. Church, we are in part 11 of our series, Built with Power. To be built with power means that we are to be developed spiritually, equipped and enabled to obey God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to be developed spiritually, equipped and enabled by God to obey God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go through our intent, purpose, objectives, and goal for this series. The intent of this series is to teach us and remind us to rely on the Holy Spirit. I want to teach us and to remind us to rely on the Holy Spirit. The purpose of this series is that we be equipped and enabled to do what God requires. We want to be equipped and enabled to do what God requires. We have 11 objectives in this series. I want to teach us to rely on the Holy Spirit to do 11 different things. I want to teach us to rely on the Holy Spirit to change. Then we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help. In our third objective, we will learn that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to teach. then we must rely on the Holy Spirit to remind. In our fifth objective, we will learn that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to empower. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to empower. Then we must rely on the Holy Spirit to guide. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to guide. In our seventh objective, we will learn that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen. Then we will rely on the Holy Spirit to compel. We will rely on the Holy Spirit to compel. In our ninth objective, we will learn that we will rely on the Holy Spirit to restrain. We will rely on the Holy Spirit to restrain. Then we will learn to rely on the Holy Spirit to comfort. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to comfort. And in our 11th and final objective, we will learn to rely on the Holy Spirit to reassure. So I want to teach us to rely on the Holy Spirit to change, to help, to teach, to remind, to empower, to guide, to strengthen, to compel, to restrain, to comfort, and to reassure. Church, as I said at the beginning, on tonight, the only thing I want to do is reintroduce the Bible study series to us and to remind us why this series is so important. Because it's been almost 3 months since we covered our last objective. So on tonight, we are simply going to review what we have been taught. Let me give you the subtitle for tonight's message. The subtitle is The Holy Spirit in Perilous Times. The Holy Spirit in Perilous Times. Turn your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Church, everything that we have learned in this series thus far can be summed up with this one statement. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. Everything that we have learned in this series thus far can be summed up in that statement. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. When we look at these distressing times that we are in, that statement should ring more and more true to us as Christians. As believers, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? Remember what we learned about who the Holy Spirit is. We learned that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. We learned that the Holy Spirit is not a force or an energy. He is not positive energy. We learned that the Holy Spirit is not a good feeling. He's not good vibes. We learned that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit moves. He moves. He moves in this dispensation. He is the person of the Godhead that moves in our current dispensation. And he moves in the life of the believer to accomplish the will of God. The Holy Spirit moves in the life of the believer to accomplish the will of God. Church, we must understand that the Holy Spirit provides the believer with everything he or she needs to overcome the destructive forces of this world and to have victory in every stage, phase, and state of life. The Holy Spirit provides the believer with everything, nothing left out, everything he or she needs to overcome the destructive forces of this life and to have victory in every stage, phase, and state of life. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. Doesn't matter the state of your life. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is willing to provide you with everything you need. If you are a new Christian, the Holy Spirit is there to direct you in your life. If you are a young person and you're trying to establish the course of your life, the Holy Spirit is there to direct you and to give you wisdom. If you are raising small children, the Holy Spirit is there to give you wisdom and to comfort you and to encourage you through the process. If you're trying to overcome devastating situations in your life, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and to comfort you. If you're dealing with complex issues, situations in your life, the Holy Spirit knows just what to do. If you're trying to overcome long-term addiction or struggles in your life, the Holy Spirit has power that can enable you to overcome. If you're struggling with depression or anxiety, health issues, the Holy Spirit is there in your life to bring you to victory. He is there to give us everything we need to overcome all the destructive forces of life and to have victory in every stage, phase, and state of life. And the Holy Spirit is everything we need right now. Amen. He is exactly who we need in the perilous times that we are experiencing. But as believers, many of us still struggle to believe that. And the reason that we struggle to believe that is because we have failed. That is, we have relied on self. And when we relied on ourselves, we couldn't get the job done. So we start to believe and think that we lack adequate help because I tried. I tried and I failed. And so now we find ourselves in a situation, and especially in these perilous times, where we are just searching. We are searching for answers. We are searching for help. We are searching for comfort to deal with the issues of life. And when we search, we are often disappointed. And all of this is happening when the help that we need lives right on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is there. He is ever with us, ready to lend aid. Lend aid to whatever situation we are going through. Church, if in these perilous times you think that you cannot make it, it is because you are relying on yourself and not the Holy Spirit. If in these perilous times you find yourself struggling to get answers to the issues of life, it's because you are relying on yourself and not the Holy Spirit. If in these perilous times you find yourself making one bad decision after another, it is because you are relying on yourself and not the Holy Spirit. If in these perilous times you are being carried away by the distress and the chaos that is happening all around us, it is because you are relying on yourself and not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not deserted us. God has not deserted us. God has not left us in confusion. If we find ourselves struggling in confusion, trying to figure out which way to go, it is because we have turned away from the Holy Spirit and we are relying on ourselves. And all that ever does for us is lead to inadequacy. We just feel inadequate. And many of us right now, if we would just admit it, as the chaos around us goes on and on, each and every day we feel more and more inadequate. But my feelings of inadequacy comes from self-reliance. My feelings of inadequacy come from self-reliance. Church, we must rely on the Holy Spirit. What must we rely on the Holy Spirit to do? Well, that takes us to our review. Let's review what we have learned in this series thus far. In our first objective, we learned that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to change us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to change us. The Holy Spirit has the power to transform. The Holy Spirit has the power to transform. That is to make us different and better than the person we were before we gave our life to Jesus Christ. And in that objective, we learn that the Holy Spirit changes instantly. He changes instantly. In other words, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit washed our sins away. The moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit gave me new desires. The moment we accepted Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit put me in a new position with God. I'm no longer a child of whatever my past was. You know, people say, well, I'm a child of dysfunction. I'm a child of the system. I'm a child of the streets. I'm not a child of any of those things. Once the Holy Spirit does a work in me, I am a child of God. And what that means is from the moment I accept Jesus Christ, I have access to all the grace that God offers me. From that very moment, the Holy Spirit changes instantly. Then we learn that the Holy Spirit changes progressively. The Holy Spirit changes progressively. That is, He works on my heart and on my mind over time. The Holy Spirit works on my heart and on my mind over time. He teaches me over time to conform to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It simply means that with time and over time, the Holy Spirit is teaching me how to be like Jesus Christ in my character. And every day that I become more like Jesus Christ in my character, I'm conforming more and more. And then the Holy Spirit teaches me something else. Okay, you've done that. Now you need to learn this. You've learned patience. Okay, now you need to learn forgiveness. The Holy Spirit teaches me day by day. So the Holy Spirit changes instantly. He changes progressively. And we learn that the Holy Spirit changes willingly. The Holy Spirit changes willingly. That means that the Holy Spirit is eager and ready to fix the damage in our life. The Holy Spirit is eager and ready to fix the damage in our life. But I have to be willing to let Him fix it. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to fix the damage in my life, there are some things He's going to be working out of me. And I have to be willing to allow Him to do the work so that I can be healed, so that I can be whole. See, on Sunday, we are learning about the cost of obedience, that there are things in our life that we have to change in order to obey God. Those are the types of things that the Holy Spirit is willing to fix in our life. If we struggle with pride, the Holy Spirit, He's willing to fix that. If we struggle with self-pity, He's willing to fix that. If we are struggling with ungodly desires, He is willing to help us with those ungodly desires. If we are struggling with seeds of doubt or unbelief, the Holy Spirit is willing to root those seeds of doubt out of our heart. He is willing to help us. He's willing to help us think correctly. Whatever it is in our life that is damaged, the Holy Spirit is willing to fix, but I have to be willing. If He's willing, I have to be willing. So our first objective, we learned that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to change. That took us to our second objective. In our second objective, we learned that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. Church, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our helper. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. We know here that Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he was leaving his disciples with some last instructions. And he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." What is Jesus saying in this scripture? He's saying, "I am sending you someone who is my equal. I'm sending you someone who is my equal. And he will provide you with aid of every kind." He's going to provide you with aid of every kind. And in fact, he is going to supply my aid. He's going to give you my aid, the aid that I have for you in my absence. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples in this verse of scripture. And what he promised the disciples is a promise to us. But we ask the question, so why then do we struggle and why do we fail? We said that we struggle and we fail because we don't understand our help. We don't understand our help. We said that we must learn to seek help for the right things. We must learn to seek help for the right things. You know, the Holy Spirit will not help us do anything we want help with. There are some things that he is not going to help us with. See, the Holy Spirit was not sent to help us control somebody else. Because we spend a lot of time praying about other people, not praying for them, but praying that God would make them do what we want them to do. He wasn't sent to help us control other people. The Holy Spirit will not help us make sin work. He will not help us make sin work. Too often, I hear Christians say they are praying to God that he would bless them in a sinful state. The Holy Spirit's not there to make sin work. And the Holy Spirit will not help us make sin stop hurting when we refuse to obey God. So God has told us to clean up some aspect of our life, and we refuse to do it. And so we are struggling. We are hurting. And we're praying, God, help me. God, why am I struggling? Why am I sad? Why am I depressed? And we feel like God has abandoned us. He's not answering our prayer, but he already answered our prayer. He told us to stop. He told us to walk away. He told us to give it up. So the Holy Spirit is not going to help us make sin stop hurting when we refuse to obey him. Remember this statement that I made in this objective, that the Holy Spirit was not sent to help meet our demands. The Holy Spirit was not sent to help meet our demands. He was sent to help us meet God's demands. That's why he functions in our life. He is here to help us meet God's demands. So we must seek help for the right things. And then we said we must seek help at the right time. We must seek help at the right time. When is the right time to seek help from the Holy Spirit? Now is good. Remember we made that statement? Now is good. That means I have to stop making the Holy Spirit an afterthought. You know where I turn to him after I've thought of everything else and nothing else worked? I have to seek him early and often. And when I do, he will help me avoid unnecessary pain. I have to seek help for the right things. I have to seek help at the right time. And then we learn that we must seek help in the right way. We must seek help in the right way. What does that mean? I receive his help by following his instructions. That's seeking help in the right way. In other words, the solution to the issues of my life is in the obedience. The solution to the issues in my life is in the obedience. So we must rely on the Holy Spirit to change us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. Then we move to our third objective. And in our third objective, we learn that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us. Jesus promised he was going to send the disciples, someone who was his equal, to provide aid of every kind. But then he continues. Let's read verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, as fatherless. And then Jesus goes on to tell the disciples, in a little while, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And as I reveal myself to you, I'm not going to reveal myself to the world. Let's pick it up in verse 22. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He says the Holy Spirit would not just give aid, but he would be a teacher. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. That's what he was telling the disciples. Yes, I've been with you for 3 years, but the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach you everything you need to know. To do what? To fulfill the assignment that I've given you. He's going to help you know what you need to endure. He's going to help you know what you need to overcome tribulation. He's going to help you know what you need to have peace so that you can carry out the assignment. He's going to teach you everything that you need to know. That promise, again, for the disciples is a promise to us that the Holy Spirit, when we rely on him, he teaches us what we must know. And that was what we learned in that objective. The Holy Spirit will teach us what we must know. He will teach us what we must know. In other words, he'll actually address the problems of our life. He will actually address the problems of our life. You know, it's amazing. We can go through situations in our life and we look for help, and the help doesn't really address the problem. But that's not true with the Holy Spirit. He actually addresses the problems of our life. And he speaks to us in clear, concise, simple, and understandable instructions. He is very clear. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk to us in a complicated way that we cannot understand. He's very clear. And sometimes he is so clear and so simple in his instructions that we miss the instructions. We walk right past the simple looking for the complex. So often people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I have this situation and I'm not sure what I should do. Well, have you prayed? Yes, I've prayed. What has the Holy Spirit said to you? The Holy Spirit hasn't said anything. Okay. Well, what is it that you know? Well, all I know is... Well, that's what the Holy Spirit said. And usually the person is surprised because, well, but that's simple. I'm looking for a little bit more than that. But that is the instruction. And I'm not ready for another instruction until I do the first step. So the Holy Spirit will teach us what we must know. Then the Holy Spirit teaches us what we must do. Now, this is important. The Holy Spirit does not just give us instructions. He tells us how to carry them out. He does not just give us instructions. He tells us how to carry them out. So, for example, if the Holy Spirit says to you, you need to get organized with your life. You need to have better stewardship over your life. That's the instruction. But then he'll tell you how to do it. He'll say, do this and then do this. But the problem for us is sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he gives us instruction. Before he finishes giving us the instruction, before he tells us how to do what he wants us to do, we're off and running. And so we have partial instruction. And then we end up doing something that is not exactly what God would have us do. And we waste time. See, church, the Holy Spirit does not leave things to our imagination. We just stop listening. He doesn't allow us to fill in the blanks. We have to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. He gives us instructions and tells us how to carry them out. So the Holy Spirit will teach us what we must know. He will teach us what we must do. And the Holy Spirit will teach us what we must change. Isn't that what we're learning on Sunday? The Holy Spirit is teaching us week after week after week what we must change. And every week, we seem to learn that we must change something else on top of the last thing that we have to change. But it is simply the Holy Spirit talking to us. He teaches us what we must change. Because our life will not get better until we change. But we learned in this objective that there is a caveat. I have to determine to be taught. See, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, but I must determine to be taught. We said that means that I must stop. Stop being prideful and self-reliant. I must stop being prideful and self-reliant. And I make this statement in this objective. If my life is messed up, I should not have strong opinions. If my life is messed up, and you might say, well, my life is great in every area but this one little area over here. Well, in that one little area over there, you should not have strong opinions. Can't be messy and opinionated. I have to have a teachable spirit. That is an open heart and a willing mind. So I have to stop being prideful and self-reliant. Then I must listen. I must pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. I must pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. That means, church, that I cannot be too busy to spend time with the Lord. I cannot be too busy to spend time with the Lord. See, when we can't make time to hear from God, it's like saying, I'm too busy for the solutions to my life. When we don't have time, can't make time to hear from the Lord, it's like saying, God, I'm too busy for the answers. I would rather just keep on struggling the way I'm struggling. Lord, I have stuff to do. And God is saying, but I have the answers to the issues of your life. But you have to stop and you have to listen. So we have to stop. We have to listen. And then we said we must learn. That is, I must modify my behavior based on the Holy Spirit's instructions. Doesn't help me to stop and listen if I don't learn. Ultimately, I have to do the work. Ultimately, I have to modify my behavior. I have to do what God said. And whenever we refuse to modify our behavior after the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, Our life is at an impasse. Our life is just simply at an impasse. We said that an impasse is a place where no progress can be made. And we're at an impasse because God's not going to change his instruction. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we go back to him and give him our side of the story, God is not going to change his instructions. And so if God is not going to change his instructions and I'm unwilling to obey, I'm at an impasse. Can't make progress. And church, do you know that many people die at the impasse? Their life ends at the impasse. In other words, they go home to be with the Lord, and yes, that is wonderful, but their life never progressed past a certain point. Their life never grew beyond a certain point. They were left at an impasse. So the Holy Spirit, he is our teacher. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to change us, to help us, to teach us. And that brought us to our fourth objective. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us. We learned in this objective that the Holy Spirit causes us to remember. The Holy Spirit causes us to remember. That is, he causes us to think about what we have been taught in order to regulate our life. He causes us to think about what we have been taught in order to regulate our life. So that when the troubles of life threaten to overwhelm us, we can stay the course and we can be strong. Because he reminds us of what we've been taught. We learned in this objective that the Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our facts. He reminds us in the midst of our facts. And that is so important because our facts get so big in our mind that they make us slow to obey God. We look at our life and we say, Lord, I have this going on and I have that going on and I have this problem and that problem and I don't have enough money and I don't have enough resources. And we start just adding up all the facts. And they seem so overwhelming that it's hard to do anything that God tells us to do. But then the Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our facts, God is greater than my facts. He's bigger than my facts, and he knows what the facts of my life are. He took them into account when he gave me the instruction that he gave me. So the Holy Spirit reminds me in the midst of our facts. The Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our feelings. He reminds us in the midst of our feelings. He reminds us of the truth, of what is true. Because those emotions, desires, and longings that we have, that rage in us, can make us feel like giving up quickly. And so he reminds us of what the truth is. That I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm faithful. So that we can bring those emotions, desires, and longings under control. He tells us, do what I said. Just trust me. And if you trust me, I'm going to work all things together for your good. See, I've been taught that, but sometimes I need to be reminded. The Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our facts. He reminds us in the midst of our feelings. And then we said the Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our fears. The Holy Spirit reminds us in the midst of our fears. Fears are feelings of dread. Feelings of dread that cause us to become paralyzed. Can't go on. I'm afraid. Something bad is going to happen. I have anxiety. I have worry. But in the midst of our fears, he reminds us that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He reminds me to cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. See, when I am struggling with my fears, I need to be reminded of the truth. So the Holy Spirit reminds us. And so we ask the question, well, how does he remind us? We said that he reminds us when we draw near. So there's something that we must do when we are struggling with facts, feelings, and fears. We have to draw near. We have to approach God through prayer and supplication. And church, we learn that when we draw near to God, then God, by his Spirit, draws near to us. Church, he never fails. God will never fail to draw near to you if you draw near to him. Amen. He will never, ever, ever fail to draw near to you if you draw near to him. So then we have to draw near in light of our facts. That is, we can't let the facts of our life get us down. Can't be buried in the facts, occupied with the facts. If I find myself thinking of the circumstances and turning the circumstances over and over in my mind, then I have to stop and say, wait a minute, I need to draw near. Because I'm not going to fix anything by just sitting and meditating on the facts. We must draw near in spite of our feelings, in spite of how we feel. I cannot let my feelings carry me away. And all of us know when it's happening, when our feelings start to just well up in us and we just allow ourselves to get worked up. And before you know it, we are carried away. Cannot allow our feelings to get carried away, because when we do, we end up somewhere we shouldn't be. We said that when that happens, it's a long walk home. Because I've done something I shouldn't have done. I have said something I shouldn't have said. I've gone somewhere I shouldn't have gone. I've given up something I shouldn't have given up. I have done something that I shouldn't do. So I cannot let my feelings get carried away. When those feelings and emotions well up on the inside of you, remind yourself, I'm not my feelings. I'm not my emotions. And so right now, I have to draw near to God. And if all I can say is, God, help me, because my feelings are raging, then that's all I need to do. So we must draw near in light of our facts. We must draw near in spite of our feelings. And we must draw near because of our fears. We must draw near because of our fears. No one can help you with your fears like the Holy Ghost. No one can help you with your fears like the Holy Spirit. There is not a fear, not a worry that you can have that the Holy Spirit is not able to subdue that fear and subdue that worry. So then we must rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us. That took us to our fifth objective. And this was the last objective that we covered in this series. We said that we must rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us. We learn that this is perhaps the most important aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That word empower means to give power, to equip, or supply with ability. It means to give power, to equip, or supply with ability. It means to enable. To enable. Church, the Holy Spirit gives us power. He equips us with what we need to live as we ought to live. He gives us the ability to be like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us, be like Jesus. He doesn't just show us how to be like Jesus. He then gives us the power, the ability to do what he told us to do. He gives us the power and the ability to submit to and obey the will of God. It is through the Holy Spirit that as a church, we are enabled to carry out God's plan for this church. It is through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit that we can carry out our blueprint for success. So we know that we have no excuse because the Holy Spirit is there to empower us. We learn that the Holy Spirit empowers us through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We learn in this objective that after his resurrection, Jesus met his disciples. And he tells his disciples, "You're going to be my witnesses. But before you do anything, I'm going to endue you with power." We learn that that word endue means to sink you into the power of the Holy Spirit. To sink you into the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like saying, "I'm going to immerse you in power. I'm going to clothe you with power. I'm going to baptize you with power, immerse you. I'm going to give you power, strength, and ability from on high." And Jesus promised that to the disciples because even though they knew him, they walked with him, they saw him resurrected, Jesus knew that in their human nature, they did not have the power to be witnesses. Said, "I'm going to give you the power that you need." And church, we learn that that same power promised by Jesus to his disciples is promised and available to every Christian. Because the Bible says that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for as many as the Lord our God shall call. It is a promise for every believer. So we ended that objective by asking and answering three questions. The first question was this: why do we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? We learned that we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit so that we can have the power to be witnesses, so that we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to light in our home, with our family, and in our community, in the perilous world that we live in. That's why we receive power. And we receive power so that we can confirm through our life that the gospel is true. Now that's important. We receive power so that we can confirm through our lives that the gospel is true. In other words, we receive power to live right so that people, when they look at our life, can see that the gospel does work, that the gospel does heal, deliver, set free, that the gospel can take you out of your wretched life and make you live a righteous and holy life. That through the gospel, through surrender to Jesus Christ, the anger and the bitterness and the hatred that is in my heart can be taken out, and I can be filled with love, joy, and peace, that the gospel works, and that Jesus Christ truly is Lord. That is why we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That took us to our second question. When should we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? When should we receive it? We said the answer is right now. Church, in the last Bible study, before the pandemic closed our doors, this is what I said. I said that we need the power of the Holy Spirit right now. We cannot afford to wait or hesitate, but we need his power today. And I reminded us that God is calling us to do a work in a world that is getting worse and worse. And that it is a time-sensitive work that he's calling us to do. And I made this statement that we don't have months and years to get ourselves together. because we don't know what challenges will show up on tomorrow. And now we are looking at all of those greater challenges in a matter of weeks. When should we receive? We should receive right now. The challenge is here. The work is here. The work is right in front of us. But do I have power? That led to the final question that we asked in that objective. How do we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? We said that in order to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, a born-again believer must ask. Simply ask. And notice I said born-again believer, because you cannot receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit unless you are saved. But once I am saved, I can call upon the Lord. God, I desire power from on high. I desire to be endued with power from on high so that I can be a witness unto you. All we have to do is ask, and we must ask in faith and with expectancy. We must ask in faith. That is, we must believe, have confidence that God will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. We must have confidence that we can be clothed with power. We have to trust God. Wait for it with expectancy. See, when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it is simply with confidence, with belief. And when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we learn that we receive our prayer language. We are able to speak in tongues. We said, well, why do we speak in tongues? Is it so we can sound spiritual? No. So that we can pray effectively. That is the purpose of our prayer language, so that we can pray effectively. Praying in tongues is my spirit communicating directly with the Spirit of God. It is spirit-to-spirit communication. It is communication that is elevated above the facts, above my feelings, and above my fears. That's why it's so powerful. Because I can pray when the facts are swirling around in my head. I can pray when my feelings are all over the place. I can pray when I am gripped with fear and know that my prayer is effective. It is spirit-to-spirit communication. And it is through praying in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit helps my infirmities. Because that's what Romans 8:26 says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Church, we have learned a great deal about the Holy Spirit in this series so far. And yet we have so much more to learn. So now that we are back in the series, we have to get refocused. More than ever before, we must understand how the Holy Spirit operates in our life so that we can submit to His work more than ever before. Church, in perilous times, the Holy Spirit is exactly who we need. He is exactly who we need. And we have to be reminded of that, because many of us are starting to feel like, oh, Lord, things are just falling apart. I've never seen anything like this. Lord, what's going to happen? What's going on? We begin to question, how are we going to get through this? And we're asking a lot of questions, and we're starting to click on articles and watch news reports, and things seem to get heavier and heavier and heavier by the day. We cannot forget that in these perilous times, the Holy Spirit is exactly who we need. So now is not the time to become distracted by all the things that are happening around us. We must learn even more to rely on the Holy Spirit, to make it our habitual practice. It is what we do every day and for everything. Now is not the time for us to fall back into old habits of self-reliance, because none of us are adequate within ourselves to do anything about what we see. We have to learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now is not the time to fall to discouragement or to let our imagination carry us away into despair. When the Holy Spirit is ready to remind us of the truth that we have been taught. Church, right now, now is the time to re-engage with the teachings and to recommit ourselves to allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to take place in our lives. That's what we must do. We have to re-engage in the teachings and recommit to allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. So I do have three very simple points, very quick points, but they're important for us as we close out tonight's message. We must be recommitted to three things. We must recommit to point number one, reverence Him. That is reverence the Holy Spirit. We must commit to reverence Him. Don't disrespect the Holy Spirit. Don't belittle Him. Start acting as if He doesn't matter. Many of us would say, well, Pastor, I would never do that. But here's the question. Are you still confident? Are you still confident that God still moves? Are you still confident that God still moves? Are you still confident that you have what is necessary to live as you ought in these perilous times? See, we have to reverence Him because sometimes we can look at the circumstances and we can regard the circumstances as greater than the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that the circumstances can't be overcome? Do you believe it's past hope? See, we have to recommit to reverencing the Holy Spirit. Don't let what's happening around you take your focus off of Him. The state of affairs does not lessen His ability to do good in and through your life. Church, the state of affairs does not lessen the Holy Spirit's ability to do good in and through your life. He is still God. He is still here. And He is still able. So we must recommit to reverence Him. Then we must recommit to point number two, hear Him. Must recommit to hear Him. Don't ignore Him. Hear Him. And many of us will say, well, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, but what have you been listening to? What have we been listening to lately? Is it the news? Is it our family and our friends? As things have worsened, are we becoming more determined to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? As things are getting worse, are we pressing in more? God, I need to hear you by your Spirit. Or are we distracted by pointing and clicking, texting and scrolling? We have to recommit to hear Him. Have we heard Him clearly? Do we know for sure what God wants us to do at this time? Do I know exactly what God wants me to do with respect to my family at this time? Am I certain that I know what He wants me to do with respect to my church at this time? See, we have to recommit to hear Him. So we must recommit to reverence Him, to hear Him. And then we must recommit to point number three, surrender to Him. We must recommit to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. Surrender. It's time to surrender to His work in our life completely, totally, finally, once and for all. Completely, totally, finally, and once and for all. Surrender. Let Him have His will and His way. Draw near to Him every day. Let Him change me. teach me, help me, remind me, empower me every day. And church, when I do, God will be glorified. Doesn't matter what it looks like right now. God will be glorified. And glorifying God with our life is ultimately what we're called to do. God is calling us to make Jesus clear and visible in a society that is crumbling under the weight of sin. He's calling us to show that there is a better way of living. Church, this confusion, disorder, uncertainty, the anxiety, the fear, the hatred, the bitterness, all of this stuff that is happening that we see in the world is of the world. But that shouldn't describe us. We shouldn't be confused because we have the Spirit of truth. We shouldn't be disordered because the Holy Spirit organizes and sanctifies. We shouldn't be overcome with anxiety and fear because we have the Comforter. We shouldn't be full of hatred and bitterness because when the Holy Spirit works in your life, then you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. We ought to be exhibiting a different kind of life because the Holy Spirit is at work. So we must recommit to reverence Him, hear Him, and to surrender to Him. Church, God is calling us to save our house, but to do that, we must be built with power, developed spiritually, and equipped and enabled to obey God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the triune Godhead, and He will work to accomplish God's will in our life. And even in these perilous times, He is exactly who we need to glorify God. But we must recommit to relying on Him. Church, allow the Holy Spirit to build you up so that you might believe, move with fear, prepare so that we can save our house. Amen. Amen. Amen.